It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
How it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Those towers fell. We had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is not 9/11. Of course, it's September 10th, 2021, and we've got Ron Gould on the show, District 5 County Supervisor, and just kind of remembering 9/11 today as it approaches tomorrow, of
sure.
course, and we'll be playing some music in that we normally play, the patriotic mix that we play. But
you can play that Toby Keith song.
Yeah, and definitely, right, and it mentioned Bin Laden, and it's just 20 years,
right,
so long ago, and what the kids are learning in school now, and there's this, that, I wish Vinny was here, like he was last month, so we could talk about 9/11, I'm sure
his union contract only allows him to appear every other month.
Really interesting, though, you told me he thinks he has a job.
Yeah, he thinks that Paul offered him a job, because he asked me, what's that job pay?
Nice.
And I said, I don't know.
Well, it ain't coming out of my end, as Tony Soprano would say, right?
I was tempted to bring him in and give him $2 or something. After.
Right. So welcome to the show, everybody. Kind of a somber occasion, but we're going to do kind of a hodgepodge today. We're going to talk about county business. We're going to talk about the president's, is he the president? Press conference yesterday.
El Duce speech?
I'm not shy about calling, on Facebook, I call him President Dimwit. Because he is. He is diminished. I even had our guest on the show yesterday admitted that he is diminished. And I'm just wondering why Kamala Harris is there, or is she only there so that we don't remove him through the 25th Amendment?
Biden's insurance policy.
Oh, totally.
It's
completely.
Jill Biden's insurance policy, because she was the one that shielded the empty-headed president around to get him elected.
Right.
When he wasn't in the basement.
Right. And
I thought it was pretty pitiful that he makes his Marxist proclamation and tells us that he's about run out of his patience with us,
yeah.
And then he goes shuffling off the stage instead of taking questions. It's, come on, grow pair.
Yeah.
You did this,
right.
So you know, let him ask you the questions.
Yeah, as he looks at his watch or says, they don't want me to answer these questions, right? No, I thought it was interesting how he said it's my job to protect all Americans. And I'm like, real? So the people that you left behind in Afghanistan don't count?
Sure.
The 10%ers? That's just ridiculous.
And in reality, that's not his job. His job is to protect my rights.
It is to protect.
And to protect these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Some folks might recognize what that's from.
Or to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Sure.
And to protect and serve the Constitution of the United States. That is his job. Not to get into my business or your business.
Sure. Well, the Marxist wants to create friction in the country because that friction allows them to do things.
Right.
They can't divide us by classes because we have a classless society. Effectively, you know, you and I as children could have mapped our life out to do whatever we wanted to do.
Sure.
We weren't held back by the station of our birth. That wasn't, you know, our stars weren't already set, and that's the promise of the United States. So since they can't make a wedge between class like Marx did, they're making a wedge between race, you know, and victims and oppressors. And their attempt is, and it's Zelenskyism, is to create friction so they can take advantage of the friction.
Sure.
And they've done a dang good job of creating that friction over the last, what, half a dozen years.
Well, when you run the mainstream media and you have all of these neo-Marxists, as Mark Levin calls
sure.
them, in the media that have worked for Clinton, that have worked for Obama, and then you have the education system tailored just the way you want it
sure.
so that you can revise history, they're doing a darn good job.
Well, we use a Prussian model of education that right. teaches you to sit in your seat, do what you're told.
Yeah.
You know, effectively, that's what it's for. The goals of the public education system, as stated by John Dewey in the 1920s, was to separate the child from the antiquated values of his parents.
There's a teacher I saw, I think it was in the Epoch Times, that was, she was fired for encouraging students to not use the word God in the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever it was. But then she was encouraging students not to say the Pledge of Allegiance at all in her classroom while they're saying it on the intercom throughout the whole school.
Sure.
But that's just going too far. I'm sorry. Or not to put your hand over your heart. I mean, what are we teaching these kids?
Well, they're
nowadays?
Trying to separate the children
right.
from the antiquated values of their parents. When you and I went to school, there was a Cold War going on between us and the communists. And so we did duck and cover drills because we were worried about nuclear bombs exploding in the United States.
Right.
And they raised us to be nationalists, to love our country, to love our God, and to love our fellow man. And they have separated us from that.
So what happens when this generation becomes parents and the news comes home from little Johnny or little Susie that teacher said I don't have to put my hand over my heart or say the Pledge of Allegiance? We didn't either. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Now you have us parents that are holding school districts feet to the fire saying, fire that teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, that's not going to happen.
Sure. Sure, because you've had several generations now of dumbed down people.
That right.
They do not know their constitution. And the real purpose of public education was to create an educated citizen that could keep the republic, you know, a keeper of the republic.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to do that anymore.
Well, it's just...
And I don't think it's by accident.
Let's see what our listeners have to say. We'll open up the phone lines. If you have a question, a call, a concern, anything, the show's dedicated to the listener. Turn this into talk radio, not just listen radio. 928-854. I've been accused of saying this too fast. 5-6-8-7.
You can do the alphabetical, but sometimes cell phones don't have the alpha on there.
Well, sometimes listeners don't get it when you say 928-854-KNTR. They're like, what does that mean? So anyway, 928-854-5687, and we'll give you the sports schedule later on in the show, including Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights football starts tonight.
Cool.
At home. And if you are a Lee Williams fan and you want to hear how the Knights are doing, you'll be able to hear the Knights streaming at the Lee Williams Volunteers streaming at KNTRSports.com. I knew we would get a phone call if I said the phone number slow enough, right? Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, it's Jennifer Esposito in Kingman. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing good. I'll be doing better in a couple of days when this weather finally breaks for the summer and we start getting some fall going on, you know what I'm saying?
It's not until, it's going to be like between 105 and 110 all next week.
Well, that's Havasu, but that's not Kingman.
Ah. What can we help you with?
Hey, yeah, listen, I wanted to comment on this Biden thing. You know, OSHA doesn't have any more power to fine private businesses, especially, you know, 100 employees or more, but 99 or less is you know, not... In legal terms, that's called arbitrary and capricious. But what I wanted to point out was some of the leftards are shrieking about a law that was passed or and challenged in court and ruled on regarding the smallpox vaccine. But if you hear people talking about that law, what it really did was affirm states' rights. So that law, if this is challenged and goes to, say, the Supreme Court, that law is not really going to help anybody because it basically had states had the rights to make that decision. You know, but they don't have any more power to enforce that fine than CDC had to stop evictions.
Yeah, and people need to realize that was a fine. That wasn't a forcible vaccination. They said that he had to pay the $5 fine.
Yeah.
You know, which is what, $150 now from devaluation of the dollar. But that didn't then hold Jacobson down. It's Jacobson v. Massachusetts is the case. And they didn't forcibly inoculate the guy. They said you had to pay it was a $10 fine because he was fined for both himself and his son.
There you go. See, I knew you knew, Ron. You always know this stuff. That's why you're so valuable to us, is because your statutory memory is still so sharp. You know, you have an attention to detail that I think we all appreciate and benefit from. The other thing I wanted to touch on really quick was this 9/11 thing. It's not confirmed, and I'm not saying anybody should, you know, get crazy about it, but there is a sort of a rumor going around that intelligence is looking for 12, like, RPGs and about 150 pounds of that fancy new version of plastic explosive kind of stuff that made it across the southern border, and that Boulder Dam is one of the potential infrastructure targets. So I'm just going to advise people, hey, maybe take another route if you're going to be on the road tomorrow or something. You
might get a good view of it from the bridge.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know that that's enough to blow the dam. That dam is solid at the bottom. And I remember them talking about that because after 9/11 they closed down traffic across the dam because they were worried about a car bomb, and they closed Parker Dam and Davis Dam, I believe, at the same time.
Yeah.
If you popped a car bomb on any of those dams, all it's going to do is leave a black spot on the ground. Davis Dam is an earthen dam. We shut down traffic across Davis Dam. And we were talking to Mayor Hakim at the time, and the mayor said, well, what if we have an emergency? Can we open it back up? And I said, well, no, Mayor, because if I was a terrorist, I would then crash a truck on the Laughlin Bridge so that you would open up traffic across Davis Dam, and then I would bring my truck bomb in and blow Davis Dam.
Exactly. You know, so
Parker Dam is the deepest dam below the water level in America, I believe.
And hope there's nothing that happens, you know, on this symbolic date.
Sure.
I heard that from a reliable source this morning who has a lot of reliable sources, you know, and like I said, I don't want anybody to take that to the bank, and let's just hope that for once our alphabet agencies are on top of stuff and you know, keep us safe and we have nothing new to report in a couple of days.
Sure.
You know?
I was always concerned about, we gave the Mujahideen, when they're fighting the Russians, we gave them Stingers, which are shoulder-fired guided missiles to shoot down high-end helicopters. And I was always concerned that some of those were still floating around, and I'm happy that they never shot an airliner down with them. Hopefully they're smart enough to put burn chips in them so that after whatever, an expiration chip that burns the board in the thing, you know, so they're only effective for a period of time.
Right. You realize when you say you hope they were smart enough, you're being possibly overly optimistic, right?
Could be true. There's some smart guys there, but there's some not smart guys also.
So, but anyways, I just wanted to point out that court case, and I'm glad that Governor Ducey's found his backbone somewhere, and, you know, even Brnovich, who's failed miserably, has managed to take a stand against this and is threatening to join other states in fighting the mandate. It's funny how they all grow a backbone when, you know, they need to, something from the people. But, you know, I don't think that there's any legal leg to stand on. This may be one of those times when the Supreme Court, like the CDC kind of thing, says, hey, you know, 9 to 1, you can't do that. Sorry.
They probably both got boxes of that new cereal for politicians called Spine Builder.
Exactly.
The Breakfast of Champions.
Nice. Nice. All right, Jennifer. Good to hear from you.
Have a beautiful day, guys.
We'll see you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Great phone call. We don't get enough women callers, do we?
Nah, they're usually men.
Yeah, usually. I'm not saying women don't listen to talk radio. I'm just saying we don't get enough women callers.
They're busy.
They call in for prizes, though, when you have giveaways. I'll tell you that right now. So, all right, I'm Paul LaVoy, along with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. And let's see, what do we want to talk about next? Probably where the 9/11 remembrances are happening. I've got information for all over the tri-state area, so you're going to want to listen, because we have remembrances in Kingman, Bullhead City, and Lake Havasu City. And I'll tell you all about them when we come back.
Sounds
I'm Paul LaVoy with Ron Gould. Stay with us. We'll be right back on a Friday special edition for 9/11 of Speak Out. Stay with us. The whole boot thing, right?
Yeah, I was talking.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Springburg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien, was spot on. They help with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to teobrien@spoton.com. That's teobrien with an E at spoton.com. Boy, there's a lot of events, especially in Bullhead City tomorrow.
Interesting.
Commemorating 9/11. Four events are planned locally Saturday. Three of them have to do with 9/11 remembrances. The first one is at 8 a.m. at the Veterans Memorial Peninsula. It'll be the site of a Patriots Day ceremony honoring the public safety workers who were among the victims of the attacks in New York City, Washington, D.C.
I think that's where they have the Eternal Flame.
And Shanksville. Yes, they do. They do.
That's a nice place.
Yes.
I've been there before.
Absolutely. Bullhead City Police and Bullhead City Fire will be joined by community members and representatives of local military veterans groups. The event is open to the public. At 10 a.m., a Patriots Day remembrance will be held at River Valley High School in Mojave Valley. That's your district. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on going?
No, they didn't invite me. They got invited to the Havasu one here in town.
Oh, okay. And that's at 8:30. We'll talk about that later in the show. Again, in Bullhead City, a community prayer service will be held at Bullhead Community Park. The event is sponsored and conducted by clergy from the Bullhead City area. It will be interdenominational, a time for prayer and reflection. Now, this is really cool. This is kind of the non-9/11 event, but it's on 9/11. There will be a welcome home celebration for Lance Corporal Zach Turnbull of Bullhead City. It's at 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6 p.m., at the Mojave Shrine Club on Miracle Mile. He is, Turnbull, that is a 2006 Mojave High School graduate. He's now stationed at 29 Palms after serving a 7-month deployment in Afghanistan.
Mm.
So he's home from Afghanistan. The welcome home is being conducted by the Colorado River chapter of the 1st Marine Division Association, the Bullhead Patriots, and the Mojave Shrine Club.
Good for him.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. It's outstanding.
I
know Bullhead City for years, I believe they're still up, had banners of the youth from the community that had went into the armed forces.
Right.
And with their photos on them. That was awesome. I believe they're still up.
Somebody else is doing that. I thought it was Kingman.
Kingman has some stuff.
Yeah,
up too.
I thought it was Kingman also. But
you're on Stockton Hill. It's hard to look at things on the side of the road. You have to keep your eyes totally focused on traffic.
Bullhead City has been that banner program was initiated by, I believe, Cindy Frizzell.
Okay.
It
may not be the city that does it. It's Bullhead City that they're in, but.
Right, right. It's the Blue Star Moth.
Oh, okay.
In Bullhead City that initiated it.
Good for them.
And then River Rock Promotions and Printing, I believe, does the banners.
Oh, okay.
And the city actually does the installation because they're on city poles.
Sure, sure.
For liability reasons. So, yeah, what a great program. And I've got friends who have children in, or adult children, obviously, in the military now, who post the banners on Facebook. You know, here's you know, picture of Johnny or Julie or whatever. And, yeah, it's really neat to see that it touches the community in that way.
It was when I was,
and there's got to be 100 of them.
Before I was a politician, I used to be I volunteered in a organization called Awanas, which is a Christian youth group, and taught Sunday school also. And it was interesting to see kids that I'd run through my Sunday school program or Awana program that were going off to fight in the war.
Right.
You know, and I remember them when they're little toddlers, and you remember praying for them that they would come back.
Oh yeah, I remember when I was in high school, and we were tying yellow ribbons around. Tony Orlando came to an assembly at Rancho High School.
Yeah,
you know, and we were tying yellow ribbons all around Las Vegas and North Las Vegas for the hostages in Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Orlando's a good guy. I'm not sure if he's still with us or not.
He is.
He was a buddy of Mayor Jack Haycom.
Yes,
and he actually, when I was on that peninsula, Tony Orlando had shown up at the program. I forget if it was a 9/11 or whether it was a Memorial Day.
Right. There's
a real nice guy.
I don't have the information for Laughlin, but I'm almost positive there will be a ceremony at the Avenue of Flags that's right there by the riverside at the boat, you know, where the boat launch is?
Right.
Yeah, in the big parking lot to the north of the old tower, the old Riverside Tower. Anyway, let's talk about Tuesday's meeting. I almost said Monday's meeting, but Monday was Labor Day, so the meeting was on Tuesday.
Yeah, because in America, on Labor Day, we don't labor.
Right. Well,
some of us don't.
A lot of politicians have come out, you know, against the whole concept of Labor Day because it's a pro-labor.
Yeah, it came out of a union movement.
It has communist origins, obviously. Mm-hmm. So,
Bear in mind, I'm actually a former member of a trade union.
Oh, okay. But no longer.
No. California is a closed shop state, so you don't have a choice.
Right.
If you're going to work at that particular shop, you don't have a choice.
Anyway, I didn't want to get too heavy on the labor right now.
Sure.
But the vaccine outreach personnel item that was on the agenda was a 4-1 vote. You dissented. Why?
We don't need... First off, it's federal money.
It was for two extra positions in the health department,
It started out as five.
Five positions?
Five. And my concern was that this was going to morph into Joe Biden's door knocker program where he was going to, it's federal money that's coming down. The federals do not have cash. They're creating all these spending programs that through the inflation of the currency. So effectively, they're robbing you of the value of your money to give to people, the beneficiary of their choice.
You know, that's a good point. After 9/11, there was the TSA was created.
Right.
And Homeland Security was created right after 9/11.
Sure.
The department. So now.
They wrapped Border Patrol up into Homeland Security.
Kind of the
also.
Point I'm getting to, the expansion of government with Homeland Security and TSA. Is COVID creating a whole new branch of government?
I think it's given them the opportunity to do that. And that's my concern with this program. Everybody balked when it was five people, but then the health department director, Denise Burley, came back with it, whittled it down to two.
You're still setting a precedent,
right,
though.
Right. And people know about vaccines, and it's supposedly not limited to the COVID vaccines. It was, you know, the regular vaccines that children get. Do you really need to spend government money to promote that stuff?
So they're looking.
It's not. They act as if you don't live inside of an incorporated city, that you're some rube that doesn't get to town very often. You know, and that's not true. That, you know, people go to town and go shopping, and they have the same ability to surf the internet and watch TV like and listen to the radio like everybody else does. And I just really don't see the need to spend taxpayer dollars in a program educating people on things they already know about.
Yeah, this is a community educator position, right. At least one of them is.
It's not nurses.
The fire department has a community educator,
sure.
Right, that teaches kids how to stop, drop, and roll. And that's very necessary, that position, to teach fire safety, especially in school.
Sure.
But do we really need
somebody to
teach?
And you've got personnel that's already in the budget to do that.
Do we have someone who's going to teach vaccine safety?
Well,
is that what this is?
I don't know.
Because that's ridiculous.
The schools, it was mentioned about children, the vaccines that they need to attend school. I'm sure the school gives them a handout on what vaccines are required.
Most parents' children are vaccinated by the time they're 18 months old. How many vaccines have they had?
Sure. And that's getting over the top personally because they start to vaccinate you for things that are not life threatening.
Right. Exactly. I'm just saying. Is this necessary?
I don't believe it's necessary. That's why I pulled it off of the consent agenda and for discussion and a vote because it was on the consent agenda.
The slam dunk agenda?
Yeah. And it's not really to hide things. That's just where we put stuff. And any member of the board can pull them off for discussion and a vote. But I just didn't think that it was necessary to do that.
I'm really surprised it was 4-1 that you couldn't convince some of the other more conservative members. I'm not calling anybody out, but I just can't believe that you couldn't convince at least one other member, one other supervisor, that this was unnecessary.
Yeah, I was surprised, especially since the way that it went, the meeting before that when it was five educators. And the other, to treat parents as if they're rubes also, I think, is ridiculous.
Yes, you know,
parents are, the children are given by God to their parents. Their parents are to raise them and make decisions for them and train them up to be adults. And to treat parents as if they can't parent their children without intervention from the government, I think, is ridiculous.
Well,
and there's if you can't take care of your kids, there's programs to take your kids away from you and give them to somebody else. So.
That's a good point. Just ask the lady who left her kids in the car running.
I saw that. But it was only for a minute.
That was 15 minutes.
As the cops stood there for 15 minutes waiting for her to show back up.
You know, I really don't know how to react to that, though, because it's not like the car windows were down and the engine was running. They were up. I believe the AC was on.
Yeah.
They said
it was 101 in the back seat. They shot the temperature in the back seat.
It was 105 outside.
Sure.
So,
sure. It's just bad. I guarantee you, my mom probably left me and my sister and brother in the car. You know, left the cigarette burning in the ashtray too, but.
I can't even tell you. I'll tell you off the air a couple of stories about, being left in the car. All right, back with more in a moment. That's my problem, right?
Yep.
Therapy.
Blame it on your parents.
I'm in need of therapy. All right, I'm Paul LaVoie along with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, and we'll come back and talk about a few more county programs or whatever you want to talk about at 854-KNTR, right? We're kind of going slow today.
You are. I think everybody's intelligent.
854 Wait a minute. 5687 is the last four. 854-5687. Just do what Kenny does. Save it in your phone.
There you go.
There you go. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
My brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes.
All right, a little Aaron Tippin as we come back on Speak Out. And I just want to remind our listeners, you may not listen to KJJJ Nash 102.3, but Terry Clark has a show on Sunday night, country star Terry Clark. And it's going to be a tribute, music-wise, to 9/11. So there's going to be a lot of music like Aaron Tippin and Toby Keith and Daryl Worley.
Cool.
And, really good songs. on Country Gold with Terry Clark Sunday night at 5 on KJJ Nash 102.3. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, also Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, the Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herbs Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule. And something going on in Kingman also. You're going to be here at the Havasu Remembrance for 9/11 Patriot Day, but the city of Kingman is inviting the community to honor the victims of the September 11th attacks. Join City of Kingman first responders at Locomotive Park. That's the one with the train, right?
Hence the name Locomotive Park.
Right there on Beale Street. And that is Saturday, September 11th, tomorrow, of course, 8:30 a.m. And there'll be a special remembrance ceremony. Locomotive Park is located at 310 West Beale.
Beale and Andy Devine.
I think it's where the Kingman Street Drags used to be.
Yeah.
Right? That was pretty cool, right there in the heart of Kingman.
It's where the parade starts right there when they have their Andy Devine Days Parade, which is coming up.
Right. And, of course, the
Mojave County Fair is coming up, too.
Nation Now observes Patriot Day annually on September 11th as a national day of service and remembrance for the thousands of lives lost in the 9/11 attacks.
It's interesting because April 19th is also Patriot Day.
Really?
Yep. That was the date that the shots were fired at Lexington and Concord when British marched on to seize the guns that the Sons of Liberty had stashed.
Yeah, I'll give my parents
in the original gun grab.
I'll give my parents a lot of credit because when I was younger, my dad's from Massachusetts, and when I was younger, we actually went to Bunker Hill Monument. We went to Lexington and Concord, where it's called the Shot Heard Round the World,
right,
you know.
Right.
And and then I ran across a picture the other day of me and my parents and my brother standing in front of Old Ironsides, the USS Constitution.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But in that was the bicentennial year, and it was that summer right before she was taken out on the 4th of July in Boston Harbor with the big celebration in the bicentennial. But she was still, we toured the boat, the ship, you know, the USS Constitution, but she was still under renovation.
Oh,
but
okay.
You could still go on board and
interesting
stuff. It was really cool.
That was the hotbed of the revolution. Also, they were already fighting the Brits before we declared war, the Declaration of Independence.
But when you're in sixth grade, I mean, how big, you don't really realize it until later how fortunate you were to have parents to teach you history
sure.
like that, you know?
Yeah, one of my kids was 15 when we went back to Gettysburg and ran around and went to D.C. and whatnot. He didn't want to be there.
Right.
So he has all the pictures. He's got got a PO'd look on his face the whole time. It's like, come on.
My brother and I had I'll never forget. It was raining super hard in Boston that day. And my brother and I raced up. There's so many steps that they tell you how many steps is at the top of Bunker Hill Monument.
Uh-huh.
We actually raced up those steps, but it's really thin, the passageway. Yeah, my parents kind of sat that one out, but my brother and I, you know, 12
years old. We'll
wait
here for you.
Yeah, exactly. You guys have fun. So, anyway, there's more coming here. District 1, they've talked about Travis Lingenfelter's proposal for a internet partnership. The county would put in $4 million, and then hopefully they can find a private company to match that $4 million. Was that right?
Yeah, and there's already...
How do you feel about that?
As far as spending of ARPA money, I think that's reasonable, because it doesn't.
Is that pandemic related money?
It's ARPA, which is so-called American Recovery Act program. That's the one we got $40 million, and we decided to split it five ways for the five districts in the county, and it gave us authority to spend it the way that we deem. And
so what's the update from County Manager Sam Elters? Have you had the conversation with him about the $168 per person in your district?
No, but I've actually got the attorneys to agree with me that I can do it.
Oh.
I was getting some pushback on it, and my assistant spent 3 days reading the rules, and then I spent a day reading the rules and got about halfway through the rules, and we never saw anything in there that said that we couldn't. It actually tells you that you can help households out with the economic harm caused by the pandemic and the economic harm was caused by the government's overreaction to the whole thing. But it says that we can do it. We only run into trouble if we give them more money than the federals have given them already, which isn't going to happen because it's only $166 a piece.
$166.
Yeah,
okay.
we're probably going to have to. Part of that will get eaten up in the administration, like all government programs. We got to figure out a way to get it out to the people, though, because we don't have a list of everybody that lives in the 5th district.
Oh.
You know, because we don't collect taxes that way. We collect property tax, and that would be property owners. And you can't give it as a tax deduct or a tax reduction, but the state's got a lawsuit. Brnovich, the attorney general, suing over that. But I've seen stay away from that because I don't want to leave renters out of the program.
We're talking about women, children, and
every
occupant in the district.
Right, every man,
registered
woman, and child.
Voter or not.
Yeah, that's everybody, as long as you have legal presence in the district.
Interesting. Let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I've called before about whatever happened to the census. How come I don't hear anything about how many people are living in Havasu and stuff like that?
They're supposed to release that soon.
They supposed to release it last month.
Yeah, it was supposed to release it 6 months ago.
What's the holdup, Ron? Do you know?
I don't know what the holdup is. They've released some of it. They released the congressional, which states were going to get, which ones were getting congressmen,
yeah,
and losing congressmen, and they released the county populations because La Paz actually lost population. I don't believe Mojave grew like we thought it would. And some of the other, there's one or two other counties that lost population. Maricopa and Pima gained population. Most of the growth in the state was in Maricopa.
I heard Havasu went from, 59,000 to 67,000?
Off the
that
top
sound
of my head,
about right?
There was an increase, but I don't think as a percentage, it was not as great as the increase in Maricopa.
But if the census numbers haven't been released, then how do they know that?
They released the tentative numbers. They're probably still jacking around with it.
Yeah.
But it is ridiculous that they're using COVID as a reason to,
you think
to
it's
jack around
or
with
or politically motivated so that they, because there's redistricting going on,
sure,
right now.
And the more that they hold it back, it's tougher for redistricting. And hopefully we won't get gamed in redistricting.
Right. Any other questions?
No, I'm just frustrated that, you know, you don't get any results. You know, of course they want you to fill it out and have it sent in on time, and then they jack around getting out the results for their purposes, it seems like. And that's it.
It's funny because most of the stuff they ask you has nothing to do with proportioning representation in Congress. You know, they ask you all kinds of weird questions. I didn't see how many toilets do you have in your house, the question this time, but
yeah, right.
Last time they did.
They did?
Yeah. How many toilets you had in your house?
Interesting. Let's talk about call to the public. I understand there's been some possible heckling or whatever during meetings, and there's people are coming up, and I don't know. There's a problem with call to the public that was addressed recently. What happened?
Well, they did, the county manager Elters brought forth a proposal to change the way that we did call to the public, and that you had to speak on something that was under the control of the board. Because a lot of times people are speaking about whatever they want to speak about.
Does that mean it has to be on the agenda?
No, you cannot speak on things on the agenda on call to the public, but you're given the opportunity on most things to speak on that item.
So is that to say you have to inform the board or the county manager or both in writing about what your topics
are? Well,
we
threw it all out anyway. So originally they voted, and it was 3-2, to say that you had to tell them on the application to speak what you were going to speak about, and that if you're going after making personal attacks towards staff or towards the supervisors, that you were going to be shut down.
Hold on a second. I would have had to fill out an application to speak to my elected officials?
You already do.
What?
But all it says is your name and where do you live.
Okay.
And what you can put what do you want to speak on. If you're going to speak on an agenda item, the reason they even ask you what are you going to speak on, so that you, they'll know where to put you. You know, if the clerk has to put you in a place so that the chairman knows that you want to speak on that item. But on Call the Public, my feeling on Call the Public, you can speak about whatever you want to. You get 3 minutes to rattle on. You want to call me a rotten so-and-so, I don't really care.
Right.
Because that's your right.
And you can't respond anyway.
Yeah, and that's what is irritating. If you call me a rotten so- actually, if you call me a rotten so-and-so, I can actually speak on why I'm not a rotten so-and-so, because that's a personal attack.
After that person
Yeah, but
speaks.
It never, it doesn't help. You, if the person thinks you're enough of a rotten so-and-so to come up and tell you so, then you're not going to convince anybody why you're not rotten. But that's
still,
all that's all well and good. That's just American tradition, and it's one of your rights is to redress your government for redress of grievances.
But now you say there's an application. When does that filled out?
That was filled out, and they were making you fill it out before the meeting called the order.
But the cities, you go to the council meeting if you want to get up and speak to the council. If it's a group, it's 5 minutes, I believe, in Bullhead City
mm-hmm.
or Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an individual, it's 3 minutes.
Right. So now
you can't just get up and address your councilman or your
when
supervisor?
I'm chairman, if you want to stand up and speak, I'm going to let you stand up and speak.
Good.
But so that was done at the previous meeting. At the last meeting, we beat the somebody brought it up for reconsideration. We're beating that dead horse for about 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness!
And so I get up. I actually go, let me look at the statute. So I'm reading the statute on my phone. I called to the public, and I saw a word that I thought might mean that you could limit their speech. So I was confused by that. So I get out of my chair, and I walked over to the attorney to ask him a question. So I come walking back, because I'm thinking they're going to beat this dead horse for another half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure I got time to go ask him my question and not have to do it online. And when I come back, they're already voting. They've already called the ayes to vote. I don't even know what we're doing because I didn't hear a motion. So when I don't hear when I don't know what I'm doing, I vote no. So I voted no. But it was interesting that the clerk apparently didn't hear how I voted and thought that I had voted aye, because I probably would have voted aye, because what they did is they were going back to talk about whatever you want to, but that the chairman shall maintain order in the hall. Which is, that's just basic. If somebody's out of control, you have to rein them back in.
Sure.
But I voted no because I didn't know what the motion was. They counted it as an aye. And then I got an email from the reporter up in Kingman asking me, how did I vote on number 71? And I said, well, I voted no and this is why. And he'd called the clerk. The clerk calls me and says, Supervisor, we've watched that video like 80 times trying to figure out how you voted. How did you vote? And I said, I voted no, and told her why. And she goes, oh, okay, so did that fail? Yeah, it failed. So the return to normal failed. So I'll probably have to bring that up to reconsideration so that we can return it to normal.
After 45 minutes of discussion.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are so efficient.
And I got a look from one of the supervisors going, why are you voting no? It's like you got what you wanted, but how come you're voting no?
Well, thanks for coming in. You always make it interesting and quick. It just seems like time flies when Ron Gould is our guest on the program.
That's because I talk continuously to the annoyance of some of my other supervisors. But
okay. Well, I'm not complaining.
There you go.
All right.
It's talk radio, right?
Yeah, exactly. District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould is our guest, and thanks to the callers today for helping to make this talk radio, not just listen radio. I'll come back and let you know about the 9/11 rededication ceremony in Lake Havasu City, along with what's happening on the gridiron tonight.
Never forget. Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Absolutely. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, last but not least, the 9/11 rededication ceremony, London Bridge Beach, tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. And every year, a group of Lake Havasu City citizens come together to remember the events that took place on September 11th. And never forget, ceremony, again, starts at 8:30 a.m., London Bridge Beach. They suggest bringing a chair and wearing a hat and sunscreen. There'll be plenty of free bottled water available as well. So, again, that is tomorrow, 8:30 a.m., Lake Havasu City at London Bridge Beach. All right, as far as the gridiron is concerned, tonight, 7 o'clock, Havasu hosting Lee Williams High School. If you're in Kingman and you want to hear the Volunteers and the Fighting Knights on the air, Steve Greeley and Bill Beckman will be bringing you the game on KNTRSports.com. That's KNTRSports.com. You can live stream there. Or in Havasu, you can listen at 980 a.m. All right, on Monday, we will have River Cities United Way and the Better Business Bureau on the program. And whatever you do, folks, never forget 9/11 and the 20th anniversary, of course, tomorrow. And wherever you're going to remember the victims of the attacks on 9/11, just be safe out there this weekend, folks. Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you on Monday.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.